Good morning, everybody. Look at the power there. The music stopped. Woo. Something else. Everybody making your way in. I want to just welcome you here this morning to Eagles Way. I'm going to give a little bit of a plug of some things that's going to start happening in our church starting on Wednesday. This coming Wednesday night's the first meeting. I hope you've heard about it. Ralph Martin is going to be teaching every Wednesday night, and I want to encourage you to be here, period. If you have even the slimmest desire to make a change in your life, be here. Sundays too, but Wednesday, be here, okay? Because it is amazing what happens when you learn how you have control of your mind, and when you realize who you really are, and you get all of that stuff gets reinforced in you, and how every day changes for you. There have been times in my life where I struggled with rejection for a long time. I used to really have a problem with that. You know, if I passed you in a hall and you looked away, man, it bothered me really bad. And I always thought it was me. Might have been at times, I don't know. But I struggled with that. Some of you who are connected to the real world, I've got an announcement this morning. If you don't already know, I joined Facebook yesterday for the first time in my life. And it turns out I do have a few friends, or they said they're my friend. We'll see. But it's amazing how your mind works. And the things that Ralph will be teaching us will help you to discover things. Ralph, when I started meeting with him back in July, and I meet with him every week, and I look forward to the day that I meet with him on that every week. It's just a great time where we talk about life and about who we are. I never had been a person who journaled. I didn't have a diary. But he encouraged me to start journaling. And I wanted to read something to you this morning that just as a kind of a tidbit of what is waiting for you if you'll come on Wednesday nights. And this Wednesday night, there's going to be several people giving testimonies. But I wanted to read this. I started journaling, and I even told Ralph, tried to encourage me, and I said, Ralph, that's just not my cup of tea or whatever. But I went ahead and did it, and I looked through my journal last night and this morning when I was trying to think about how to talk to you a little bit, give you a tidbit. And as I read it, I want to read something to you that I wrote back in early August when I first started this. I'm going to take my glasses off because I can't read with my glasses. Okay. This was on August the 8th, and this is my journal for that day. I am who God says I am. I am free. I am His. I am of God. I am filled with His Spirit. I am thankful. I am blessed. I am patient. I am mercy. I am praise. I am generous. And I am compassion. And I don't journal every day, but I do write down in here just reminders for me of who I am, who God made me. Now, I want to tell you this. All of those things that I read to you right there, here's the thing. I was all these things before I discovered it. God made me that way. I was already all of those things. I just didn't really acknowledge it. And when you start acknowledging it in your life, it's amazing how your vision becomes so broader and clearer to everything in the world. There was a time that I had a discussion with a family member recently who said, he said, it's just the way I am. I'm a half empty type of person, filling the cup. And he said, but I can see in you that you're a half full person. And I acknowledged that. I walked away and I got to thinking about it days after, and he's wrong. I'm a full cup. My cup's not half full, it's full and it runs over. So I want to encourage you. First of all, I'm so glad you're here this morning. What Buren's going to bring to us this morning, we're going to be strengthened by it today. And then I want to encourage you to be here on Wednesday night to hear the testimonies about digging into this thing of your mind and what a change it'll make. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now just join me as we worship this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Verse I've been kind of just relaxing on for the last month or so. It comes from Psalms 119, it's 114. You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. And for a lot of people, we need somewhere just to go and curl up in his lap and let him be that safe place and to be the shield to protect us from all those things, thoughts, fears, whatever we have. And his word being our source of hope is always somewhere to go and have that word to rest in your heart, and to, even if you don't believe it, it's there and you can just know that it's truth, something to rest on. You are my shield, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the hope in you, Lord.
Worthy is the
thank you.
You are mine. life is dark and there seems like there's nowhere to go and we are scared and fearful, we don't have to be, because you are here in us, around us, all the time. I ask that we accept that fact, God, so that we can feel you. That we can feel your presence every moment. And that we can truly say, take me where you want me to go. We're here for you. We love you. We praise you. And we are yours. Thank you for being ours. We love you.
Okay, now I'm on. And some people think holy is that God wants you to act a certain way and be a certain way, and that unholy is this behavior and holy is this behavior. And really the word holy means he wants you to be whole, W-H-O-L-E, or he wants you to be complete. God will take what's incomplete in your life and make it complete. He'll take what's not well and make it well. He'll take what's not whole and make it whole. And that's what he wants to do all the time in our life. And so we want to take this moment right now, and I ask you to stand one more time, and we're going to pray. And if you're here this morning and you need God to do something in your life, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is, but you need God to make something that's not well in your life well, to make something that's incomplete in your life complete, or to make something that's just out of sorts, bring it into sorts. God wants to do that. And he is the only one who can do that, because he is the only whole, complete, perfect individual in the world, in the universe. And he will take, you know, I can't give you what I don't have. I can't give you money if I don't have money. I can't give you love if I don't have love. I can't give you wholeness if I'm not whole. And so God is all that. God can give you money because he owns everything. God can give you love because he is love. God can give you the fire in your life that you need because he is an all-consuming fire. God can give you healing because he is well. And so I'm going to ask you to take this opportunity and just come and stand across the front and allow some people to pray with you, for you, over you, that God will take what's not right and make it right in your life and do for you what only he can do. So just come and just stand before the Lord and see God do what only he can do in your life. Know a lot of things went wrong in people's houses because of weather, and pipes got busted, and this happened and that happened, and you know, it just really upsets your life when that happens. But you know, you got somebody you can call to fix that. Thank God you can call a plumber, call somebody to come fix that pipe, come stop this leak. Thank God we got a God we can call and stop this leak, stop this disruption in our life, and do what only he can do. And so as we pray with you, just know it's not us that's bringing to you what you need. It's the God in us that's bringing to you what you need. And fixing the busted pipe, fixing whatever needs to be fixed, because God's in that kind of business. So believe and trust in God, not us, but trust in God to do what only he can do. Thank you. You know, end of the service, we'll receive the offering. But right now, I just want us to just sit in His presence. Just want us to just listen and hear God's voice. And just let Him speak to us and do what we've already said that only He can do. And, you know, we decided a couple of years ago to embark on a journey. And I believe the journey that God has caused us, if you will, to embark on, is the identity for which I believe He wants Eagles Way Church to be. I believe that every body is an aspect of God. I believe that every person is God in the flesh, and that they represent a wisdom, an understanding of who God is in every single life. I believe every church is a characteristic of who God is and what God wants to be in individuals' lives. And I believe that our identity, years ago when we felt the need or the desire to change the name of the church, and we really prayed over that, and we looked at a lot of different things, and a scripture just leaped off the page to us, spoken to us from someone out of town, the way of an eagle. And so we changed the name of the church from New Life to Eagle's Way. And here's the thing about an eagle that you need to understand. The Bible says it's a strange scripture, because had we written that scripture, I would have written it just opposite of how it's written. But in Isaiah chapter 40, he talked about how that the young men would grow weak and strong men would be weak, but talked about a God who would not, a God who never does become weak, a God who never loses His strength. And it goes on and says that He would renew our strength. And He said, and that renew strength means that He would take your strength and give you His strength. He'll take what you have that's not complete and give you what is complete. And then He ended that passage of Scripture. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord And that word wait is not a passive word. Sometimes we think of waiting that we are standing still waiting on somebody. But the word wait there is the same word that we use as a waiter. If you go into a restaurant and a waiter is going to wait on you, what are they going to do? They're going to serve you. They're going to come ask you, what do you want? And you're going to tell them what you want. You're going to place your order, and they're going to go get it. Well, the Bible says they that wait on the Lord, they that serve the Lord, they that do what he asked them to do, then this is what would happen. They will mount up with wings as an eagle. They would run, and they would not be weary. And they would walk, and they're not faint. Because, see, our life is really not a life of flying. It's not a life of running. It's a life of walking. The Bible says Noah walked with God. And that word walk means Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. It was just a everyday thing for him to just walk with God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. They had this present understanding of God in their life at every single moment of their life. And so as we do that, then we know that we're serving God. And he says, if you do that, you will mount up with wings as an eagle. And the eagle perspective is that you will fly above the storms and you will see things from a heavenly perspective and not an earthly perspective. You with me? You know, if you ever look, if you look across the earth from your vantage point that we live, then if you just look, it can look chaotic. But if you get up high enough, if you go up in a plane and look down on the earth, then you'll see it's all in order. They're just land, and there's this order. It's not chaotic. It just looks like everything is where it's supposed to be. And it's the same way with God. If we mount up with wings as an eagle, we'll see things from God's perspective. It'd be different from our perspective. And if you'll see it from God's perspective, then when you come down to earth and you begin to run or you begin to walk with God, then that walk is an understanding of who God is and who you are in God. And life will just be better. But you have to see it from his perspective and not mine. From his viewpoint and not my viewpoint. From how God sees me and not how other people see me. Because God sees me totally different. And not only does God see me different, he wants me to see myself different. And so we're going to look at a man this morning who at 80 years of age got a new perspective on who he was. Moses, at 80 years old, got a revelation of who he was in God and what God really had for him to do on this planet. And it's just some things you have to keep in mind. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are his masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, he said that he wants us to renew our minds and to think the way that we ought to think. And that thinking is that we are a new creature and look at ourselves from that vantage point and not from the flesh. What we're talking about, he says, then you will know what true righteousness and what true holiness is, or what true completeness and true wholeness is. Because what God intends for us is that his life be lived through us. And in Ephesians chapter 4, if you read verse 23 and 24, he says, if you'll think like this, you'll be like God. That's what he says. You think like this, you will be like God. Now, some things you've got to understand about yourself. Number one, there has never been and there never will be anyone else like you. Just as different as our fingerprints are, so are we. There's one of my favorite books that I have in my library I stole. And I was at Dusty's house a few years ago, and I saw this book a couple of years ago called Soul Print by Mark Batterson. And y'all know me long enough, you know I read all of Mark Batterson's books. But I never had seen that book, Soul Print. And you ever heard of a movie that was a sleeper? You know, it went through the theaters, but it didn't make a big splash. And later on, everybody's talking about this movie. Well, this book's that way to me. This book was a sleeper. To me, it's the best book Mark Batterson ever wrote. It's called Soul Print. Soul Print. Because just as surely as you have a fingerprint that is different than anyone else's on planet Earth, you have a soul print that's totally, completely different than anyone else on planet Earth. And nobody else is like you. Nobody can be God to other people the way that you can represent God to other people, because you are that unique. You are that unique. It took me a long time, and we Facebooked this week that you're never too old to become who God wants you to be. You're never too old to come to this revelation, this understanding. And you're never too old to continue to become more and more what God intends for you to be and to do. And so here's Moses. He's 80 years old, and he's going to get a revelation of who God is. Now, the fact that you're this unique is not a testimony to you. It's a testimony to God. It's his witness. It's his testimony. It's nothing that you and I can boast and brag about, because we didn't do it. See, before your mother and father conceived you, you were already conceived. You have always been. You're an eternal being. I can't read Psalm 139 and not understand that before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. I had planned for you. All of your days were numbered before you. And so you're an eternal being that comes into knowing who you are, is that I'm not a mortal person. I'm an immortal person because of Christ in me. The eternal life that I have is in me. Then I'm immortal and I'm eternal. You owe it to yourself to be yourself. It took me a long time to come to be Buren. When I was a younger man, I wanted to be like this person. I wanted to be like that person. I wanted to be like that preacher. I wanted to be like that pastor. And it took me a long time to come to a place, you know, God just wants me to be me. Because nobody can represent him the way I can represent him. Nobody's got this aspect of God but me. And nobody's got the aspect of God that you have but you. And God, he likes you. He really does. Maybe you'll understand that more than sometimes saying God loves you. God likes you. He wants you to know that. You're uniquely his. You're invaluable. There's no price tag you can put on. You're irreplaceable. Nobody can replace you. And we live most of our lives as strangers sometimes to ourselves. I mean, how many have heard over and over again in your lifetime people saying, I just got to find out who I am? Man, we need to do that, don't we? It's sad to see a 35-year-old going, man, I just got to find myself. People leave people trying to find themselves. People walk out on families, I got to find myself. Well, that's great, but we don't need to live our entire life trying to find ourselves. We need to find who we are. It's never too late to discover that. Sin is not, I want you to listen to a couple of things I just wrote down. Sin is not the devil's way of getting us to do something wrong. That's not his purpose, his goal, just to make you do something wrong. It's to keep us from who we are. It's not just, you know, like he gets a kick out of you doing wrong. No, he gets a kick out of you not reaching your destiny. You're not becoming who he wants you to be. Sin is ultimately, listen to this, a refusal to believe that what God wants is my happiness and fulfillment. That's what he wants. He wants you to think God does not want you happy or fulfilled. That's not your lot in life. It's everybody's lot in life. I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. C.S. Lewis wrote this: the dullest and most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Now, C.S. Lewis got that from God. You know that, don't you? Okay. Everything will change. Cultures will change. Nations will change. Civilizations will change or end. But you won't. You won't end. You won't come to an end. You're an eternal being. And you owe it to yourself to be yourself. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. I was in my late 20s, and I've since then to now, this scripture has become one of my favorite scriptures because of the revelation that I have personally in it and what I believe God says to me in it, and I hope He says to you in it. It wasn't unusual to see a bush burning in the desert. It was so hot that they would just burst into flames, literally burst into flames. But when they did, they burned out. This bush wouldn't burn out. We live in a society, we live in a time where there's a psychological term called burnout. And we all know that if we ask a person or said something about an individual, that I'm burned out. What are you saying? I don't have the energy. I don't have the life. I don't have the passion. I'm just burned out. Moses, at a time in his life, was on fire with a passion and a vision for God in his life. He had a passion to free a people that was in bondage. You know his story. He's brought up as Pharaoh's court. All he knew was good, but he came to an age when he realized that's not who he was. You with me? Came to an age he realized that's not who I am. I am a Hebrew. And so he makes a decision that he wants to see the people from which he really is delivered out of their slavery. And so one day he sees two men fighting, and he goes and he gets involved, and they're trying to hurt one of his. The Bible says he looked this way and he looked this way. And see, oftentimes that's what we do. We look this way, and we look this way, but we fail to look this way. He looked this way, he'd have handled that in a total different way. Because when we look this way and that way, we're looking this way and that way to make sure nobody's seeing what we're about to do, because we know what we're about to do ain't his way. You with me? And so he kills a man, and then he has to flee. And the passion that he had to deliver the people slowly waned in his life, because there's 40 years of Moses tending sheep, getting up every day for 40 years tending sheep, And not one thing is said to him, not one thing is indicated that this passion of God is in his life anymore. I believe why he went to the burning bush is because he wanted to find out, why is that bush still on fire and aflame with a fire of God, and yet it never burns out? I wish I could have a life like that. I wish that I could wake up every day with a compassionate passion for life. I wish I could feel some fire in my life. Do you know that Jesus said, John baptizes you with water, but there's one coming, though. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What is that fire? I believe it's a passion for life. I believe it's a fire of God that wants to burn in our life and not be consumed and not let somebody else put it out. You know, never mind. So he says, I'm going to go and see this thing. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. And you know God's up to something, right? How many know when somebody calls your name twice, there's usually something coming? Good or bad? When I was going to get in trouble as a kid, Daddy didn't say Buren. He called me John. And when Daddy ever said John, I perked up. Now, he ever said John Buren, I really perked up, because I knew John Buren was about to meet Edward Drury in a way that he did not want to meet him, and I better listen up. And so he said, Moses, Moses, here I am. Moses replied, come closer, the Lord. Then do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. He first says to Moses, Moses, I'm complete. I'm whole. I'm holy. Matter of fact, the very presence, the ground that you're on is holy. And it's holy because I'm holy. How many know that that ground was just ground? What made it holy? God's presence. What makes you holy? God's presence. What makes you complete? God's presence. And then God says, because I'm this, Moses, because I'm complete and whole, I'm also compassionate. I want other people to be complete and to be whole. The reason Ralph's the way he is because he wants other people to be complete and to be whole. He's overwhelmed with a passionate desire to give it to other people. God is overwhelmed with a compassionate desire to give himself to you. He's overwhelmed with it. He wants that more than anything else in your life. He wants that. He wants you to be you in all that you are in him, because no one else can do and be who he want, what he wants you to do and what he wants you to be but you. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Man, can we hear that? Can we be silent enough to hear the cries outside these four walls? people in bondage and slavery. An enemy that has them so bound up that they don't know who they are. And they live their whole life saying this about themselves or that about themselves because they don't know that God wants to send Moses to them and get them out of that. I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians, to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. What does that mean? I don't really care. Somebody said, I'm going to take you to a land that's just flowing with milk and honey. Well, give me more than that. I don't think I'd be all excited to go to the Caribbean and say, and there's a lot of milk there and a lot of honey. No, he's saying, I'm going to take you to a place that's just filled with abundance. I want to take you to a place of sweetness and joy and happiness. A great place. A great life. He says, so I'm going to send you, Moses. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. And Moses says these three words. Who am I? That's the question we got to ask ourselves each and every day. And we better know the answer. Who am I? To appear before Pharaoh and to lead these people out. God answers, I'll be with you. And this is your sign. I will be the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested. We always protest, don't we? God, what am I going to tell them? The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask. What's his name that I should tell them? And God replied to Moses, most powerful verse, maybe, in all scripture. I am who I am. Say to this, to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. I want to close out this morning with this thought. Kitty, you can come. I think I said this last year. I could understand him saying, I'm the God of Isaac. I can really understood choosing Isaac. I couldn't understand choosing Abraham. I'm saying this because you may be here this morning and maybe you're like Moses and you're before this presence of Almighty God, and maybe your question is, who am I? Who am I that to go and deliver anybody? Who am I to go help anybody? Who am I? And so God says, I am that I am, and I am the God of Abraham. I'm the God who took a man who was an idol worshiper, who was a Gentile, who was far, far, far away from God, and called him to be the father of faith. I wouldn't have chose Abraham. I think I may have chosen Noah. I mean, we thought Noah was a pretty neat guy. Not the one you see on TV, the one in the Bible. Dude that was blameless before God. Maybe chose Noah. No, he looks out across because God's saying something. He wants you to know that the father of all faith is a man who had no faith. the father that was going to be the rock in which you're going to be hewn out of, was a man who was so far away from God that he worshipped idols. And he had no faith. What he did have was 2 ears to hear a God to say to him, I want you to leave the land of the Chaldeans and go to a place that I'm going to show you, and you're going to become the father of faith. Isaac, I could kind of understand choosing Isaac. Jacob, really? A supplanter, a deceiver? Man that would go in and his father's dying and he's blind and disguise himself as his brother to steal his birthright? Jacob, who would... But God chose these people. And I personally believe he did that so that I could stand before you today and say to you, to say to me, hey, he chose you. No matter who you, where you came from, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've said, no matter what other people have said about you, no matter what other people have called you, there's only one person in the universe that is able to label you, and that is God. And he labeled you right and righteous and holy and blameless. And so after all these excuses that Moses makes, and God just meets every one of them, God finally says, okay, Moses, I'm going to send your brother Aaron with you. He's smart. And you know what? Best I can read in Scripture, Aaron didn't get to say anything. I'm going to bring Aaron to speak for you, but I never heard Aaron say a word. Whole time he's up before Pharaoh, it was Moses talking, wasn't Aaron? See, he could do more than he thought he could do because God had made his mouth and God had made his tongue. And a man who thought he was not that eloquent of speech became very eloquent of speech. God's in that business. He chooses you, and he just wants you to know that. And the only way you're going to become who God wants you to become, and the only way you're going to get a hold of this is you've got to get a hold of this foundational principle. You and only you can represent God the way that you can represent God. Nobody else can do it. And it took me a long, long time, and I don't want it to take you a long, long time to become who you are. I'm Buren. John Buren Goss. Uniquely made of God. I'm not Paul Walker. I wanted to be. I'm not this pastor. I'm not that pastor. I wanted to be. And I had to wake up one day and go, I called them to be them, and I call you to be you. And God called you to be you. He likes you. You represent an aspect of him that nobody else can represent. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You really are. I dare you to say I'm awesome. Say it. I'm wonderful. I'm great. I'm happy. I'm an overcomer. That's who you are. That's who you are. David looked around one day and nobody else was going to encourage him. So he said, I'm just going to encourage myself. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. And you'll be able to write in a journal, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, because he is. So are we. You know, there's a scripture that says, as he is, so are we in this present world. Whoa. Where it at? 1 John chapter 4. Glad you asked. You can be like him. I want you to bow your head this morning. Tell you what I want you to do. You can bow your head. But this is what I want you to do more than that. If you're here today and God has specifically spoken to you about becoming who you really are, you've heard something, maybe you'd never quite, it finally clicked. Would you just stand up where you are? And by standing, you're going to be saying, I'm going to be who God has called me to be. I'm going to get on this in a way that only I can do it. Just stand. I'm going to be who God has called me to be. You all look at me for a moment, because I've got to get these couple of questions answered. This is not, hear me, this is not a self-help mentality. What you're going to be hearing over the next 3 months is not some self-help book. Thank God for all that, but sometimes that kind of stuff is just taking a tuxedo and putting it on flesh. And I can put a tuxedo on, and I'll look better, but I don't mean I'm any better. You with me? I dress up and look better, but that doesn't mean I'm better. I'm talking about a transformation, something that will change you from the inside out. And you just have to experience it. You just have to literally experience the transformation that transpires and happens, because it is absolutely amazing. And that's the movement, I believe, that God is placing in the earth today, is a movement of transformation where people are truly transformed from the inside out to become who God wants them to become and to be who God wants them to be. So this is not a self-help. Matter of fact, it's all and completely a God help. It's God helping you be you. So, Father, today, Lord, as the pastor of this church, I just want to accept publicly, Lord, the responsibility, Lord, of taking what I believe you're saying to Eagles Way Church, to taking a message of truly faith and hope and love that will truly bring that to the forefront of people's lives, to where they truly understand it and live it and walk it and become, not just once, but over and over again, that we'll live this rest of our life in this wonderful thing called transformation and be constantly transformed into who you want us to be and who you called us to be and who we really are. And I thank you for every person that's going to hear your voice and say, in the name of Christ and by his help, I can truly do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With his help, amen. Amen. And that's the journey over the next several months. Encourage you to be here on Sunday mornings. I thank you for being here today. And you know, I love doing what I do. And I love doing what I do because I believe it helps you. It helps people. And I just encourage you for the next 3 months, be here on Sunday mornings to hear fresh understanding and fresh revelation on I am who God says I am. I was determined this morning, I had a lot more notes. I didn't go by my notes. I went by very little. But I wanted us to just listen to God. And I promise you, over the next 3 months, that's what we're going to do. If I get up with 3 pages of notes and God says, just move them aside and just talk, that's what we'll do. Or if God says, do this, that's what we'll do. But the main thing is that we hear God. Amen? It really works. We're just going to come and do something that really needs to happen today.